Welcome to The Quality Edge, where smarter quality strategies become your business advantage.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Nahil, and welcome to The Quality Edge. Today, we're diving into the results of the 2026 Octave Pulse of Quality in Manufacturing Survey. For the third year running, we've surveyed quality professionals across the U.S., Germany, and the U.K. to understand the biggest challenges and opportunities facing manufacturers today. And this year's findings are striking. AI adoption in quality operations has hit the mainstream, with nearly half of manufacturers already using it. Organizations are elevating quality from a functional discipline to a strategic priority, with 71% planning to increase quality spending in 2026. And manufacturers are navigating rising compliance demands, unpredictable tariffs, and workforce challenges that continue to impact quality outcomes. Joining me to unpack all of this is Vic Vishnavi, head of the Octave Reliance, formerly ETQ Reliance, quality management systems business at Octave. Vic has led this business through tremendous transformation, and he's got an unmatched perspective on how manufacturers are adapting to the rapidly evolving landscape. Vic, welcome back to the show. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be back.
Before we dive right into the findings, let's set the stage a little bit for the audience. This is the third annual Octave Pulse of Quality Survey. Who did we survey this year, and what makes this survey such a valuable benchmark for the manufacturing industry?
So I think one of the most important things to realize is we polled almost 750 quality professionals in the U.S. and Europe to discover the trends, the issues, and the challenges that they face daily. Our survey respondents came from a wide variety of range of industries. I would say heavy manufacturing, electronics, appliances, medical devices, pharmaceuticals, life sciences, food and beverage, chemicals, agrosciences, logistics, distribution, transportation, even automotive, aerospace and defense, and some consumer goods, and even manufacturing as well. The folks that we spoke to in terms of their span of responsibilities typically included, compliance, continuous improvement, digital transformation, documentation control, IT, Six Sigma, process improvements, quality management, EHS, regulatory affairs, and even supply chain and supply chain risk management.
Quite a broad swath of folks in the manufacturing quality world. So when we look at the 2026 results, Vic, there are three major themes that really jumped out at us. First, manufacturers are elevating and investing in quality as a core business driver. We've seen that number growing over the years. Number two, AI adoption has reached the mainstream in quality operations. And three, regulatory and compliance burdens and tariffs are creating some new challenges. Despite the ruling that these tariffs were illegal that just came down not too long ago, they still present plenty of uncertainty for global manufacturers. Before we dig into each one of these individually, Vic, did you have any big picture reactions to this year's survey?
Well, I think if we were to net out, what are the top three key takeaways? Number one, is quality is becoming increasingly seen as an enterprise-wide strategic business imperative. So the role of quality in any manufacturing entity is just not a siloed function, but it's a solution to the high impact on costly errors that impact the top line revenue potential, as well as, more importantly, the brand reputation. The second, as you said, is widespread use of AI. I believe this year's survey, 90% of our respondents said, they're already using AI or plan to use it in the next few years, from machine learning solutions to, staff training for predictive analytics to more foresight and prevention. Many forms of AI are kind of empowering the manufacturers, and the use cases are only growing. We'll talk more, as we talk along today. And I think I would say the third piece is just growing urgency to improve quality management through digital technologies and, corporate culture. There's also a set of some industry challenges, which the respondents kind of told us about. Product recalls, regulatory requirements increasing, trade tariffs that you kind of talked about, those are costly and very resource intensive. And then, last but not least, I would say, high shortage of labor and skill. The older generation is kind of getting to the retirement age, and the newer ones need to be trained in the modern ways of manufacturing techniques and, more importantly, tracking quality. I would also say, the survey research findings enables us to understand the sentiments and the plans of some of the global manufacturers who are our customers in how they're approaching quality. Also getting the sense of, you know, what is the changing dynamics look like in the industry and how we can use our survey data to anticipate the changing landscape in quality so we can support our customers and manufacturers in general better as they navigate it.
Makes sense. It's quite a dynamic landscape these folks are operating in these days. So let's start with takeaway number one, the notion that quality is now becoming a strategic priority. 71% of the respondents expect quality spending to increase in 2026, and that's up from 60% last year. That's a nice bump. And 63% now view quality as a company-wide strategic initiative, which is up from just 38% last year, and that's a dramatic shift. What's driving the elevation of the importance of quality within organizations today, Vic?
Well, I think, Chris, one of the things we have seen in the field and in talking to our customers and prospects is quality is just not anymore just a, you know, an adjunct role or a discipline within an organization, but it's becoming more centralized and the core to how manufacturers go their business, you know, attract investors and reduce their risk. If you think about why manufacturers are heavily investing in quality, you know, some of the top drivers we saw is 49% said, hey, it increases our revenue. You know, 48% said it increases our compliance posture and reduces the costs and the penalties that we might have to face. 43% said it strengthens their supply chain. 42% said it reduces overall operating costs. And 38% said, hey, it reduces our risk. So when you think about it in, you know, in that sense, quality management has become one of the top drivers for enterprise-wide digital transformation. And it's a strategic approach, which essentially becomes a clearest method for them to connect the top floor to the shop floor in manufacturing-dependent industries.
You mentioned close to 50% said that one of the rationales for investing in quality was to improve revenue or increase revenue. Can you give me a sense of how investing in quality directly fuels revenue growth?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that we have to acknowledge is manufacturers globally are recognizing that the cost of poor quality has had a serious impact on revenue. There's a direct correlation between the two. When you think about things like warranty costs, rework cost, you know, scrap, and then more importantly, missing the time to market window, you know, all of them have a negative impact on both the top line as well as bottom line, you know, revenue performance. And then additionally, if you add in the cost of poor supplier quality, that gets magnified, you know, in times of supply chain disruption. Certainly what we have seen in the last 12 months, and I would say within the first quarter, as we are seeing in the evolving, you know, global geopolitical scenarios where supply chains are getting disrupted en masse across the board.
One of the other results of the survey showed that of the respondents, 45% of those folks now report to a dedicated vice president of quality or a chief quality officer. What does that organizational change tell you about how quality is positioned at the leadership level as a corporate leader yourself?
Well, quite simply, that's an indication of expanding role of digitized quality management as a catalyst for digital transformation. It's just very simple. You know, in most of the leading manufacturing organizations, it certainly tells us that quality is now, you know, a topic of strategic concern. And you know, the head of quality or a chief quality officer, you know, has a seat at the table, if you will. Because quality is now a topic of strategic concern as more organizations are going to look to gain control over their manufacturing output, supply chain, all the time while, you know, negotiating what seems like a very turbulent market globally as well.
Okay, let's move to the second takeaway, if we can, artificial intelligence. 47% of the manufacturers we interviewed are currently using AI in their quality processes, and that's up from 33% last year. So obviously adoption is accelerating quickly. And another 43% plan on deploying AI within 2 years, which means, if my math is correct, that the vast majority of manufacturers are either using AI now or will be using it very, very soon. Why is AI resonating so strongly in the manufacturing and quality world right now, Vic?
I think manufacturing is not the only industry where AI is having an impact. I think we can agree on that. It is what that can be best described as a force multiplier for multiple industries. Certainly for, you know, manufacturing and quality, when you think about use cases involving predictive analytics, detecting quality problems before they appear, use of agentic AI to automate some of the workflows and the decision processes, speeding up some of, and perhaps even automating, some level of compliance reporting, and being in sync with regulatory compliance update, conformance reporting, conformance controls, you know, better management of customer feedback loops and sentiment. You know, AI is going to certainly play a key role to close some of the skill gaps and the experience that is kind of plaguing the manufacturers. One of the things I will share is, I would say, you know, AI is here, and its impact on manufacturing is kind of slowly but surely getting revealed, I would say, on a pragmatic and an ROI-driven level. Practically any RFP that's out there, AI is a requirement in it, but how it should be consumed and the desired outcomes are somewhat, I would say, in a TBD or, you know, each to each customer, his or her own, from their perspective. Some of the simple AI tools are causing some of the manufacturers and prospects to even start asking themselves, like, hey, what kind of AI do we want? What we have learned in our field interaction is, you know, customers want basically three levels of AI. You know, one is just built-in workflow automation, making decision processes and decision-making more, I guess, precise, more loaded in terms of using the trend or past trends to project the future. The other one essentially is really around connecting disparate AI systems. So AI-enabled quality management system, how do you interface it with a CRM system, perhaps, or a human resource management system, or an ERP system? And the third is, you know, how do you push out or make available the quality data itself to maybe a third type of an AI system that can provide, you know, futuristic heuristics around predicting future quality problems that might emerge, given what might have happened in the past. So that's why all of this essentially is why I call it a force multiplier.
And all of this, and I've heard you say this before too, turning artificial intelligence to actual intelligence so it can actually be applied to improve the overall business.
Correct. Correct.
So we've talked about, I think about more, a little more than half of the folks that we surveyed are using generative AI or large language models. They also, I think you pointed out too, they're using AI for document automation, defect detection, and some training, workforce training. What are the other most impactful real world use cases you're seeing for AI today?
Yeah, so what we've seen, certainly our customers and even prospects that we talk to, AI can easily show demonstrable impact. You know, it's kind of like one of those best demos that you can showcase, and the ROI becomes almost obvious. You know, and often today, it's in those areas that might seem mundane, you know, but on which, you know, some of the quality professionals spend a huge amount of, I would say, you know, non-value add time, you know, things like form creations, you know, document management, document control, collection of feedback from customers, analysis and response, supplier quality analysis. These are just basics, I would say, amongst a variety of use cases in a real world quality operations where AI is just almost making a no-brainer impact. Like you can just have a complete and quick demonstrable impact there.
You know, we also have seen in a couple of different iterations of the survey too, the impact of the skills and experience gap in manufacturing. There's all sorts of workforce dynamics happening in manufacturing. What's the role for AI in helping perhaps close that gap?
Well, Chris, if you think about what I said at the beginning of our discussion, almost 78% of the survey respondents said, hey, our organizations have been impacted by a workforce shortage or a skills gap. And might I say, I believe last year in 2025, that was 70%. So we're up 8 points now. 85% of those respondents said the skills gaps and workforce shortages had, you know, direct impact on product quality. So I believe the issue is fairly serious, and it does impact the entire enterprise. But think about, you know, where those gaps are, delivering instruction, training, testing, and making, you know, updating at the point of need in a shop floor environment. You know, I call it, you know, just in time versus just in case. And in this case, you know, AI can help bridge the knowledge and the gap very quickly. That's hurting the manufacturing organizations today. And the idea is, you know, preserve the experience of your current bench and deliver it perhaps to the new generation in a format that's more palatable or the new modern generation employees are accustomed to. You know, they consume information and training a certain way, and AI is certainly the bridge in that sense.
True. Meet the digital natives where they are, as they say.
There you go. Exactly.
Let's take a look at takeaway number three, the impact of the expanding regulatory compliance and tariff burdens. As I said before, even though the most recent spate of tariffs have been ruled illegal here in the U.S., there's still plenty of uncertainty, plenty of debate as to whether or not they'll be reinstated in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, the damage has almost been done. So it's having an impact clearly on the folks that we surveyed. In fact, 60% of the manufacturers reported an increased external regulatory burden. 65% reported higher internal quality standards, which I thought was interesting year over year. At the same time, 56% said the tariffs or the geoeconomic issues we've talked about have significantly impacted their business. No surprise there. With these two pressures, compliance and trade disruption, reshaping the manufacturing quality landscape, what are the risks or costs of inaction, of not responding to these events when it comes to navigating the new economic landscape?
Well, Chris, I think if you think about compliance versus trade disruptions, and certainly tariffs causing, you know, being a catalyst in some ways, tariffs have kind of come to the forefront, if you think about it, in the last 24 months, shall we say, right? If you look at our survey, I believe 68% of the manufacturers said, hey, in response to tariffs, what we can do is just raise the prices. Many, at least in the North America side of the house, are shifting to domestic sourcing, so they can kind of control, offset the tariff costs at the end of the day. Some of the other things that we have seen in the survey is 56% basically, our manufacturers are saying, hey, listen, we need to onshore now versus offshore. And the same 56% said, now that I'm onshoring, well, guess what? I have to find new domestic suppliers, right? You can't just onshore without knowing who your suppliers are going to be. And roughly about 11% said, hey, we have to kind of, we are forced to curb our overall spending, which means optimize your cost of manufacturing at the end of the day. I think to ignore the reality here is to show a very short-sighted compliance-only mindset, right? Which essentially is a very shallow understanding of the cost of inaction, meaning do nothing. The lack of realization that the quality can boost your revenue and reputation is the right buttress against, you know, what we can describe as rapidly changing global market dynamics. You know, so if you really want to respond well in a rapidly changing market, you know, don't think of, well, compliance only mindset, well, this is all I have to do and I can get by. Rather say, you know, hey, focus on the fact that quality is your one governing lever that can help you drive your top line reputation and while at the same time help you control your bottom line. Onshore or offshore is a moot point at that point if you make quality the centerpiece of what you're trying to do. The other piece is quality will also allow you to sustain your prices. So if we say, hey, 68% of manufacturers said we raised our prices, if you keep quality constant and just raise prices, that's not going to really move the needle. You know, your top line is not going to get impacted. But if you keep the prices the same, improve your quality, or marginally improve your prices and lower your costs, your margins go up, your reputation goes up, and your top line improves. So that's why quality is the you know, I guess the magical silver bullet that you have that you should exploit. I believe there's about six steps to navigating, you know, successfully manufacturing in such an uncertain global economic conditions as we are. And if I can kind of just offer what those six might look like, you know, the first and foremost is, you know, go diversify your supply chain before you make any other decision. And the second one would be re-engineer your product. You know, take a second look at your product in terms of how you can actually take a quality lens on it and redesign it, re-engineer it. Certainly double down on meeting your regulatory requirements. You know, that's like a mandatory thing. It almost, you have to do it. It's not a, it's a necessary thing.
Taking your medicine.
It's taking your medicine. You know, take it at the right time every day. You know, whatever your regulatory cadence requires you to take, you have to do that. Use AI, you know, leverage predictive analytics so you can predict problems before they become crisis or emergencies. Deploy things like lean manufacturing, you know, which allows you to have operational excellence around your quality management, quality processes. And then last but not least, you know, build some strategic partnerships. And that could start with your suppliers, but it might also involve some of the other vendors that offer you other systems, whether it is customer, you know, customer relationship, enterprise resource planning, supply chain risk, supplier management in broader sense. You know, create that ecosystem where you're tying your quality management into strategic partnership with the rest of your ecosystems as you go through the digital transformation in such an economic conditions, which are more uncertain than certain at this point. Hopefully that kind of nets it out.
Yeah, no, it's great to have a six-step plan. We look at the, every year in each one of these surveys, we look at sort of the state of product recalls. It's something that we've done for the last 3 years, and I think five of the last six. But we did again this survey, and 75% of the manufacturers still experienced a recall in the last 5 years. Almost 60% say that each of these recalls can cost between $10 million and $50 million U.S. to remediate. And the numbers are proportional, basically, in Europe. We saw that throughout the survey as well, too. So despite this increased quality investment, which we saw last year and we're seeing again this year as well, too, recalls are still a persistent problem. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's simply because, you know, if you think about the industries first that are most impacted by product recalls, they are the very ones that are most regulated. So obviously the level of scrutiny from the customer or consumer and the feedback is much, much higher, right? So if you want to draw a correlation between who's seeing the most product recalls, it's the very industries that are most regulated because the end user or the consumer, the level of scrutiny is much higher. So you're being held to a higher standard. So if you don't meet a certain, let's call it not a regulatory standard, but a quality standard as well, you're going to get that feedback. So you're going to get the recalls. That said, you know, increased regulatory and consumer scrutiny, plus, you know, when you have a faster global communication set up through the social media and the social medium, you know, the word spreads very fast. So if you have a poor product, everybody in the globe is going to come to know about it sooner or later, much faster. Add to it supply chain disruption, as we talked about, just the geopolitical situations going around the world are causing those disruptions. There's not even a single area on this earth where there is not some form of supply chain disruption. That plays a key role, you know, with the majority of the final value of what most of the products are coming from the supply chain, it's going to be an impact. So add that to the scrutiny, and now you have higher chances of product recalls. And as supply chains get disrupted, well, the consequences are going to have a ripple effect and you're going to see more recalls. The other area is, you know, just the cost of remediation. When you think about, okay, I have a recall, now I need to do something to fix it. You know, the cost to remediate are huge. But what we're also seeing is a lot of companies are not taking any action to protect their business, you know. That's where, you know, I call it the short-sighted compliance-only mindset, right? If you all you think about is compliance and not really correlate your recalls and customer feedback to quality as well, lack of realization that quality can actually boost your revenue and reputation, and the cost of inaction, weighing it against the fact that quality can help you boost revenue, which means you're not going to respond to recalls in time, or certainly not with a strategic lens, meaning while your cost to remediate will keep rising, your recalls will probably rise at a faster rate. So now you're in this vicious circle where you're constantly trying to climb the hill where recalls keep climbing up and your cost of remediating them keeps climbing up concurrently as well. And that's only because you're just not paying attention to the fact that if you take a quality set lens on it, that is probably the better way for you to remediate it. And therefore, over time, reduce not just your recalls, but also reduce your cost to remediate.
Well, hopefully, as more and more folks look at quality as a strategic enabler, as opposed to just a checklist item, like we talked about in the very beginning, that those numbers will eventually come down. Vic, as we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to leave the audience with? Any thoughts about what manufacturers should focus on in 2026?
Well, if the survey is an indicator in uncertain or turbulent global economic situation we are in, I would urge everybody to consider quality as your front runner for any and all digital transformations that you're doing in the manufacturing side of the house, and leverage quality as a strategic differentiation and not just a compliance necessity. That's the only thing I could say. Thank you so much for your time today, Chris. It's been a very insightful conversation, and hope our audience takes a few nuggets out of this.
I hope so too, Vic. I really appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming back again. We'll certainly, when we do it next year, we'll have you back on. Certainly, probably before then as well too.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks very much, everybody. That brings us to the end of today's episode of The Quality Edge. I want to thank our guest, Vic Vaishnavi, for sharing his insights into the 2026 Octave Pulse of Quality and Manufacturing Survey. We learned how quality is shifting from a functional discipline to a strategic business driver, why AI adoption is surging in quality operations, and how compliance demands and tariffs are reshaping the manufacturing landscape. If you'd like to dig deeper, you can download the full survey report at octave.com. And of course, if you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, rate, and share The Quality Edge wherever you listen to your podcast. Until next time, I'm Chris Nahil, reminding you to lead with quality and transform your business.